And I invite you to open your Bible with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to take a short break this morning from our sermon series that we've been going through on Elijah, and I'm going to be focusing on a passage here from Hebrews 10 this morning, verses 19 through 25. So hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would impress these words upon our hearts. Oh Lord, we want to not be a people who hears your word and then it goes in one ear and out the other, but we want to truly receive your word and cherish your word and obey your word. And so we pray that you'd help us to do that in our lives here this morning and every single day. Lord, bless us as we spend these next few minutes in your word together, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So my message today is going to be a little bit different than usual, because in addition to digging into this scripture from Hebrews 10, I want to talk for a few minutes about a change that we're going to be making to our worship schedule this fall. And most of you have probably already read about this from the email we sent out this past week. But in case you haven't, the change is that as we move into the fall, instead of having two worship services, we're going to continue with one worship service. And that's a big change from what we've done in the past. And so I want to talk for a few minutes this morning about what led us to this point. First of all, let me tell you what didn't lead us to this point. We're not making this change because we're getting smaller. Some people would assume if you move from two services to one, oh, you must be shrinking. Actually, if you look at the last 6 years, you kind of have to take COVID out of the picture because that throws off all statistics for anything. But if you look at the last 6 years, each year we've actually increased a little bit each year in worship attendance. So quite the opposite. We're not getting smaller. And I want to make that very clear. That is not what led us to this point. What led us to this point relates to our vision as a congregation. Back in 2018, we had our 25th anniversary. Can't believe that's already now like 3 years ago. Well, time keeps flying. But during the course of that year, we articulated this vision statement for our church. We said that our vision is to glorify God and make disciples who are completely transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we created that statement, we asked the question, well, what does it mean to be completely transformed by the gospel? And we identified four key points. We said that we're saved by the good news of the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Christ's substitutionary atonement for the sins of the world, and that we receive that salvation and are justified by grace alone and through faith alone and on the basis of Christ's work alone. We said also that we're united by the gospel, so that the gospel unites us together with all other believers who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means our local community of believers, our local church, but not just that, every believer across the globe, every tribe and tongue and nation, we are united together by the gospel. Third, we said we're renewed by the gospel, so that the gospel changes us from the inside out, and that the process of following Christ means being continually renewed in his image. And then finally, we said that we're sent with the gospel, that the gospel is the world's only hope, and we are called as Christ's people to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. This was the vision statement that we articulated. And then in addition to that, we articulated six core values that we have as a church. And they are as follows. Number one, the supremacy of God. We exist not for ourselves, but for God's glory, and his reign is supreme over all of our lives. Number two, we said the centrality of the gospel is a core value. We want to keep the gospel of Jesus Christ central to our identity and our purpose and everything that we do as a congregation. Thirdly, and this is an important one for this morning, the primacy of worship, that we were created to worship God and we seek to worship him in spirit and in truth as individuals, but also corporately, the primacy of worship. Number four, the authority of Scripture. We said Scripture alone is our first and our final authority for our lives. It's the only infallible authority for our lives. Then number five, we said the necessity of the church was a core value, that we believe that the body of Christ is not optional, but it's indispensable for the Christian life. And then finally, the priority of mission, that we believe that the gospel is the world's only hope and that we're sent with the gospel into the world. So as you look at this vision and values, and this isn't new. No, this is stuff we've now had for a few years on our radar. I want you to notice a couple of things. One thing is we said that we're united by the gospel. And so when a person is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, they become part of a family and are united with other believers who trust in Jesus. As pastor and author Jonathan Lehman writes, he says, to be a Christian is to belong to a church. No one gets saved and then wanders around by him or herself thinking whether to join a church. People repent and are then baptized into the fellowship of a church. Looking to Christ as Lord means being united to Christ's people. It's automatic. Like being adopted means you'll quickly find yourself at a dinner table with brothers and sisters. So we're united by the gospel. And then one of the things that we've talked about is the priority and the importance of, as we're united together in the gospel, then coming together and worshiping together. And we do this week after week and month after month and year after year until Christ returns, because that's what he created us to do. So as our elders looked at this, over the past couple of years, we've been sort of reflecting on this and praying about this as it relates to our worship together. I want to emphasize very clearly that this whole process has not been a quick discussion or a quick decision, but it's something that's been not just over months, but a period of a couple of years, praying about what worship schedule really aligns best with our vision. And the conclusion that we came to is that we already have one worship service during the summer, but we felt like having one worship service in more than just the summer is really what fits best with our vision of who we believe God is calling us to be. And we believe that actually brings a number of strengths to our congregation, worshiping together. Let me tell you three of them that I think are really key. First of all, we believe it'll enhance our worship with one another. As I said, we already have one worship service in the summer, and ever since I became the pastor here, so many people have told me that's their favorite time of the year, when the entire congregation is together, everybody's worshiping together. There is something powerful about hearing all the voices of the church singing together. There's something special about when we take communion, not just taking communion with part of the body, but taking communion with the whole congregation and feeling and experiencing that communion, not only with Christ, but with one another. And so that is a important and a powerful thing, and we believe that will be enhanced as we worship together. Secondly, we believe it enhances our fellowship with one another. You know, one of the practical challenges about having multiple services is that it's harder to get to know one another. And even if you've been coming to Highview for many years, there may be people that you don't know or don't recognize, not because they're new, but simply because they attend another service. And so we believe that this will enhance our fellowship with one another, making it easier to connect to one another. And even just as simple things such as when we have coffee hours together as a church or a potluck right after church, it makes it so much easier to bring the whole family of faith together. And then here's a third thing that we believe it will enhance, and that's our ministry to one another. We're called to minister to one another as Christians. And in fact, if you look at the New Testament, that phrase, one another, comes up over and over and over again. Let me just give you some examples of the one another's of the New Testament. We're called to love one another. John 13. We're called to honor one another. Romans 12. We're called to welcome one another. We're called to greet one another. We're called to serve one another. We're called to be kind to one another. We're called to address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're called to submit to one another. We're called to forgive one another. We're called to teach and admonish one another. For those of you who like to take notes, this is a nightmare, isn't it? You cannot keep up. I'm having to keep going. Number 11, we are called to encourage one another. We're called to show hospitality to one another. We're called to care for one another. We're called to bear one another's burdens. We're called to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. And I could probably just fill up the whole sermon time going on and on. I'm going to stop at 15. But there are so many one another's. Now, think about this with me for a minute. This is core to what it means to be a follower of Christ, to minister to one another in all these various ways. And that's incredibly hard to do if we're not with one another. Simple fact. But all of these things that we're called to do for one another become much easier when we are together more. And so we believe that this will enhance our ministry to one another, and not just enhance our worship and our fellowship, but our ministry to one another as well. So, on September 12th, which is the Sunday after Labor Day, is when we're going to be transitioning here to a new schedule, we are going to have every Sunday, our Sunday school hour start at 9 o'clock. That's the hour which we've always had where we have some different Sunday morning Bible studies that meet for youth. We have an adults group that's wonderful, and I encourage you to take part of that if you're an adult. Previously we started at 9:15. We're going to back that up a little bit. We're going to start at 9 o'clock till about 9:45. And then we're going to have corporate worship together at 10 o'clock. Not 10:15, but 10 o'clock. We're also going to be continuing to live stream our worship services because we know that right now during this period of time, especially, there's still some people who for various reasons, maybe medical concerns or whatever, can't come in person. And so we're going to keep doing that as we have been doing. And we're also going to be doing some new things as we go through the fall as well that we hope are going to be really encouraging. There's a few people right now who are working on putting together. Barbara Natrip and Scott Beckwith are kind of key in this, but at least once a month to start, and maybe more frequently than that as time goes on, to have a Sunday morning prayer group that at 8:30 in the morning, before the Sunday school hour starts, gathers, not for a worship service, it's going to be a little different than that, but gathers together simply for prayer, to have a focused time when we can pray together, and whoever wants to come and be a part of that can engage in prayer with one another. And I'm excited about that, too. That will happen on the last Sunday of the month. So we'll have the one of those gatherings the end of September. What month is it? It's August, right? Yeah, I'm losing track of time. But the end of September will be the first one of those, and then we'll continue to do that, starting with once a month, but maybe more frequently than that, depending on how things go. We'll have a group that gathers at 8:30 for prayer. So there's a lot going on here, but what I want to emphasize is that, yes, these are some big changes, and change is always difficult. But we believe this is ultimately going to be something that brings a blessing and increased strength to our congregation. And so in light of that, I want to turn to that passage from Hebrews for just a few minutes here with the time we've got left. The passage that I read from Hebrews 10 is one that I've come back to many times over the past 18 months during COVID, but it's also a passage that I think is particularly relevant to us this morning and as we think about the fall together. Here's how that passage begins. It begins with a statement about the new reality that we have in Christ. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God." Now, let me just stop there for a minute. What does he say that we have if we know Jesus? We have some very glorious realities. We have access to God, he says. We have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain. And if you don't know, the curtain that he's talking about is that curtain that hung in the temple, that separated the holy place where the priests would do their duties from the most holy place where the ark was kept and where the presence of God would dwell. And no one would enter the most holy place except for the high priest, and only once a year. And the understanding was that there was a separation between God and man because of sin. But those of you who've read the New Testament many times know that when Christ was crucified, that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, symbolizing that we have access to God because of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why the author of Hebrews can say, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain. Now everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ can draw near to God with confidence and know that they have access to him. He also says in those verses that we have a great priest. Hebrews talks about this great high priest, that Jesus is a great high priest over the house of God. If you're a Christian, that means not only that Jesus is the one who made a sacrifice for you, he did that, and the sacrifice he made wasn't just offering a sacrifice, he was the sacrifice, but he's also this great priest in the sense that Hebrews says he's continually interceding for us and praying for us. That's a gift that you have if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the things that we have if we know Jesus. And then in light of that, then he goes on to give three exhortations. In light of all those glorious realities, he gives three exhortations to the church, to us today, and they all begin with the words, let us do this. First one is, let us draw near. Let us draw near. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Well, when he says, let us draw near, question is, draw near to what? I think the answer is, draw near to God. Draw near to God. If we have access to God, if the curtain has been opened and we have full access to God through the death of Jesus Christ, then we should draw near to God as much as we possibly can, as often as we possibly can, and as passionately as we possibly can. There's a challenge for you as we start the fall together. Let us draw near to God together. Let us draw near to him in worship. Let us draw near to him in prayer. Let us draw near to him in his word. Let us draw near. That's the first exhortation. And then the second is, he says, let us hold fast. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. This is an exhortation that comes up multiple times in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 4, he says something very similar. He says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. What's our confession? I think the simplest way to put it is it's our faith in Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast to that faith, the Christian faith, the teachings of the church which have been handed down to the apostles. This is the confession of our hope. Let us hold fast to it. Now, there's a constant danger in the church of Jesus Christ that we end up holding fast to the wrong things. There are some things, let me put it this way, there are some things that are worth holding fast to, and there are other things that are not worth holding fast to. I mentioned this a number of weeks back, but you know, over the past couple of years, I've seen many churches become divided. It seems like we live in such polarizing times, and that's, especially in the last few years, affected a lot of churches. And as I was reflecting on that, I thought to myself, many times when churches end up splitting, I think it's because people are holding fast to the wrong things. So instead of holding fast to our confession of hope, we're holding fast to political views. And that becomes more important than holding fast to the confession of hope in Jesus Christ. Or instead of holding fast to our confession of hope and the Christian faith, we start holding fast to personal opinions about COVID, let's say, or about other things. Or instead of holding fast to the confession of hope, we're holding fast to personal preferences that we might have in the church. And let me tell you something, if personal preferences become more important and holding fast to those becomes more important than holding fast to Jesus, that's a great recipe for the body of Christ to become divided. And the book of Hebrews says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And then there's one third exhortation. He says, let us consider. Let us consider. Verse 24, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us consider. What are we to consider? He says, a few things. Consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. This is one of the job descriptions of a Christian. You're supposed to stir the pot. not in a bad way, but to stir up other believers to follow Christ more faithfully, to spur other people on, just as we need them to spur us on as we seek to follow Christ and to love others and engage in good works that God calls us to. We're called to help each other understand Scripture and how to apply it to each other's lives. Consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. And then he adds, he says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. You know, a lot of statistics in the larger culture today says that church attendance in the last 50 years has declined across the board. Thankfully, that hasn't been the case at Highview, but that seems to be the case more broadly on a national level. And many people think that's a modern problem. Hebrews seems to suggest this was a problem that goes way back. He says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. In other words, some people in the day this book was written were neglecting to meet together. And Hebrews makes it clear that we cannot neglect coming together for worship and for fellowship because it's a central part of the Christian life. And yet I know that as time goes on and has gone on, it becomes incredibly easy to do that, especially with modern technology. It becomes incredibly easy to neglect meeting together. Over the past 18 months, during COVID, you know, we had a couple of months there where we couldn't even meet at all. And so one of the challenges is you don't meet for a while and you can get out of the habit of meeting together to worship together. And that becomes very easy. Now that live stream has become such a common phenomenon at practically every church, just out of necessity during COVID, we had to learn how to do live streaming, and that's so common now. And that can be an enormous gift, especially when we're sick or when we have medical conditions that don't allow us to get out of the house, and that can be an enormous blessing. But it can also make it very easy for us to do what Hebrews tells us not to do, which is not to neglect meeting together. Not to neglect meeting together. You know, one of the things I think that COVID has taught us, and this plays into this, what our elders prayed about for the last couple of years. One of the things it taught us is how important it is to be together. I think that it, in some ways it may have taken that for us to realize, boy, I really miss being with my whole church family. During a period when nobody could be here, we really missed it then. But even when over a period of over a year when we had in-person services still, not everybody could come back to church immediately. And so there was this longing and this sense of wanting to be together, and it showed us how important that is, that no matter how much modern technology that we have, I think we know deep down there's really no substitute for true in-person fellowship with one another. I know we can tell ourselves that, well, we've got Zoom, you know, and we've got live streaming, and we've got FaceTime, and all these different things, and those are great things. But I think most of you know that those things are truly, ultimately, poor substitutes for real, authentic, in-person community. You know that. Those of you who couldn't see your grandkids as much as you wanted to, you know it's different. Those of you who couldn't see other family members or friends, you know it's not the same. And there is something God designed us to be together. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, we see this. And so it says that we're not to neglect meeting together. And then finally, it says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Encouraging one another. I love that. That why do we come together? One of the reasons is because we're here to encourage one another in the race, in the Christian race. Encourage one another through good times, through bad times, through hard things, through blessings. We are here to encourage one another, to help one another, to support one another. The local church is that beautiful gift. This reality of the gospel is that when God gave us himself, he also gave us one another. And that is one of the greatest treasures of the Christian life. So let me close by saying this. You know, I think some people tend to operate with this understanding. I don't think they would ever articulate this, but maybe they operate with the understanding that the longer I've been a Christian, well, maybe the less I need the church. I know my Bible real well. I know Jesus real well. So maybe church is not as important as time goes on. Well, did you notice that the book of Hebrews says the exact opposite? Verse 24, I want you to listen to it again. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And then this last line, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All the more. You know, at some point, the day is going to come when Christ will return or he will call us home. That day will come. I don't know what the timing is going to be, but that day will come. So I don't know when it's going to happen, but I do know this. Every single day that goes by, we're one day closer. We're either one day closer to Christ's return, or we're one day closer to the day when Christ's going to call me home or you home. And so every day, that means we are one day closer. And Hebrews says that as that day draws nearer and nearer and nearer, come together all the more and all the more and all the more. So this is our challenge as we start the fall together. Let us draw near to Jesus Christ in faith. Let us hold fast to our confession of hope without wavering. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that when you give us yourself, you also give us one another. We thank you for the gift of your body, Lord Jesus, the body of Christ, the church. And may we cherish this gift. May we love this gift. May we never take this gift for granted. And each day that goes by, O Lord, may you use us in one another's lives to help us grow in Christ's likeness and in humility as we walk before you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.